This is a special live edition of Payments and Cards Network podcast brought to you out of Money 2020 Las Vegas. I had the opportunity to sit down with Mr. PJ Rohal. He is a fraud expert at Featurespace. Many of you would have heard of Featurespace. They're doing truly radical things in the anti-fraud space using machine learning and great data science. They're really bringing something new to the market. We discussed that. We discussed fraud in payments more generally. And we discussed PJ's quite unique background in the fraud space. I hope you enjoy the show. Okay, PJ Rohal, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. I'm excited to have a chat with you today.
Okay, fantastic. So we have Mr. PJ Rohal, fraud expert at Featurespace. PJ, why don't you start off by just introducing yourself? Tell us a bit about what it is you do.
Sure. As you said, I'm actually a fraud market expert with Featurespace, which is fraud market expert is probably not a common role that you hear out there. But what I do is I work on our product team and I work in our product strategy and management to basically help develop our products that align with the fraud trends that we're seeing in the market. And having worked in fraud for a good bit now, it is a very fast, very evolving landscape with many different kind of multifaceted problems. So I help kind of inform our product development. I work with our clients to understand their fraud challenges and how our solution can really help best solve those challenges.
Okay, brilliant. And just for our audience's benefit, many of whom may be budding fraud experts themselves, how did you get to be in this position?
That is a fantastic question. I think fraud is a very interesting, fraud prevention is a very interesting career path. I started out, I studied business and finance, so I worked in finance and found my way into a company actually just as a fraud analyst in an operations role. It was just something I was really interested in. It was one of those things you do want to try and work in something that interests you. It doesn't always work out that way, but I got in with a great company, and I really was able to evolve my career from there. I worked up through product and product strategy, and when I got an opportunity with Featurespace a little over a year ago, I jumped on it because I had been tracking their growth and the technology they provide is really transformative.
Actually. Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
Tell us a bit about Featurespace. There's a lot of buzz around the company, a lot of great people working there,
yeah.
A lot of international growth. Spend a moment to tell us about what exactly it is Featurespace does.
Sure. So Featurespace grew out of the UK, out of the University of Cambridge. Our founder, Dave Excel, was actually studying there, and him and his professor actually really invented adaptive behavioral analytics, which is what we do today. It's we leverage machine learning, and our adaptive behavioral analytics provide predictive scores for modeling against all different types of fraud. So we started out of the UK actually a little over 10 years ago, but really the past 4 or 5 years we've seen some tremendous growth. We expanded into the US about 2 years ago, so we have an office in Atlanta now. We're seeing clients globally, and you know, I think machine learning is a bit of a buzzword out there. Anyone in fraud has heard it talked about. I think what we're doing at Featurespace is really unique in how we model for fraud and develop behavioral profiles. Really granular views of customer behavior, understanding really good customer behavior so we can understand fraudulent. That's kind of the high level view of it, but it's fun to kind of be working on the good side of trying to limit some of this
fraud.
One
of the good guys.
Yeah.
Let's make it tangible. Tell us about a real world problem that one of your customers has suffered from and how Featurespace has helped them solve for it.
Sure. So we cover a lot of different fraud use cases. So that's payments fraud, card fraud, all the way to application fraud. So I think an interesting one is moving into application fraud. We're seeing in the U.S. a lot of fraud in the application and origination stages. So this could be for a credit card, debit card. It could be things like mortgages, auto loans. And it's just a very ripe time for that type of fraud. There's a lot of identity data that has been breached,
right.
And it's it's much more of a profitable kind of use case for fraudsters to be able to set up fraudulent applications in genuine people's names. There's different types of application fraud, from first party to synthetic. There's just so many layers of it. So we've been able to team up with some really, really good partners, banks and credit unions, to do our job to implement technology that is going to proactively help predict and put risk scores out there that can help stop some of this application fraud.
Okay. I think anti-fraud, you said machine learning is a big buzzword. We've been hearing about it for a few years now. Tell us about how Featurespace differentiates itself from its competitors.
Hey, this is Jonathan from Block Data. FYI, 40% of big companies will invest at least $5 million into blockchain initiatives this year. Block Data helps these companies understand what's going on through market intelligence on the blockchain ecosystem. If you'd like to find out more, just Google Block Data.
Sure. I think our data science team and the way we develop our adaptive behavioral analytics is quite unique. As I mentioned, I think one of the key differentiating factors is we model off of good behavior and we identify anomalies off of that. Mm-hmm. That's a fundamental.
Sorry to interrupt, PJ. When you say good behavior, what is a typical profile for a good behavior?
Sure. So we'll take an event, monetary, non-monetary, all different types of data streams, and it can look a lot of different ways. And it's so if you're going through an application process, and we'll take in different data from the credit bureaus, we'll take in different third-party data, and we'll really analyze kind of how a traditional person would go through and fill out their application. Everything from how they interact with the device. So we have different behavioral biometric indicators, and as we develop those profiles, we can understand those authentic customer journeys, and as those events change, as those data points change. With fraudulent applications or payments, it can really be any of the use cases, our models can understand that change in real time. And I would say the other differentiating aspect is they're truly adaptive models. So machine learning needs to be often trained, supervised models, and having the ability to do auto retraining enables us to put models in place that don't degrade over time. Mm-hmm. So instead of having to take them offline, train them constantly, this is something that is kind of truly adaptive and maintains its risk score and its accuracy over a long period of time.
Okay, changing tact a little bit, you mentioned some of the most common fraudulent topics at the moment. I think you mentioned application fraud is particularly ripe. What do you see as the big areas of fraud in the next 2 or 3 years? Aren't quite common yet, but you expect them to become so?
Yeah, that's a great question. So application fraud is growing. I think, so payments fraud, what I mean by payments fraud is more of your non-plastic, your wires, your ACHs, your P2P payments, you have Zelle or Venmo. Those are definitely rising in prevalence, and as the U.S. adopts more of a real-time payments environment, something the U.K. did about a decade ago, mm-hmm. We're going to see an even higher rate of fraud in payments fraud. So there's currently a real-time payments rails. It's being developed by the Clearinghouse. Mm-hmm. It is live. It's going to be more widespread, circulated to all the different end users, and that's going to be, you know, the quicker that fraudsters are able to execute some of these payments and have access to the funds right away, the higher the fraud challenges are, and the more layered they are. So there, it could be something from your account, basic account takeover, to a more sophisticated scam where you're manipulating the actual account holder to push a money transfer. So it's, I would say that is definitely a rising threat, especially in the US as we get faster payments.
Okay. Maybe going off a bit of a tangent here, you mentioned the US was only just coming into a real-time payments framework. I think this year or next year it's happening as we speak.
whereas the UK almost a decade ago or so. A little bit of history. Why do you think the US has taken quite so long to get real-time ready?
Yeah, that's a challenging one to answer. I think it's not a simple endeavor to switch from what we're running on now with our different payment types and payment rails and ACH and to real-time payments. So I think it's a challenging endeavor, but I also think the fraud risk is a concern for folks. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that's the reason that it's been held up. I think it's something that is something that a lot of the banks and payment processors are considering as we make that jump. It's one of the, I would say, top two or three concerns how can we do it safely,
yes,
and how can we learn from some of the regions like the UK, mm-hmm, and us being a UK based company, it's nice to learn from some of the pitfalls that they've seen with fraud and how it's kind of changed in a real-time payments environment.
Wisdom is learning from other people's mistakes.
Absolutely, in collaboration the best we can, right?
Okay. Tell us, why did Featurespace choose Atlanta of all the cities in America that they could have opened up in? Why Atlanta?
Well, if you've ever been to Atlanta, the airport is phenomenal for pretty much getting you anywhere. So it's the busiest airport in the world.
Yep.
But no, in all seriousness, we do want to be able to connect globally. It's most important because it's really the payments capital of the U.S. And there's so many transactions and transaction based companies, processing companies that they're in Atlanta that we could potentially help. And
yeah,
that I think that was a driving factor. Our technology really helps some of these large payment processing companies, some of these fintechs. And it's just a great place for us to kind of land and expand and get our technology out there.
That's right. I think it's still hiding in plain sight, the fact that Atlanta has such a ginormous hub of payments transactions companies.
Yeah.
Could you just expound on some of the stats about Atlanta?
It's massive. I believe it's 70% of all payments in North America go through Atlanta. Don't quote me on that exactly, but it is. I moved there from Philadelphia about a little over a year ago, and actually still kind of wrapping my head around how payments focused the city is, and it's interesting. There's lots of great clients, lots of great partners that we've been able to establish in Atlanta. One of the real nice ones is TSYS,
mm-hmm,
who process so many payments for issuing banks, and they've been just a great strategic partner to launch some of our technology with.
Tell us about those strategic partnerships as a company very much in the limelight, a real favorite of some of these big payments companies like TSYS. How do they decide to work on a smaller, more specialized partner like a Featurespace, and just how many benefits does that give a company like yours?
Yeah, so it's not easy. It takes time. I mean, to work on our side and their side to go through just all the vendor management, all the different steps you have to take to get into an organization like TSYS, but it is time well spent, because once we mutually recognize the value for each side, it was, looking back, it feels like a no-brainer. And then we can, what we do with them is we have a transaction monitoring fraud solution that they put into their Foresight score. That's what it's called, their Foresight score. So it can be leveraged by different issuing banks, but we can look at different fraud use cases beyond that to see how we can expand our relationship. So it's once we've gone through the time and energy to kind of integrate with them and become partners, it's easier to leverage other opportunities, which has been awesome.
Absolutely. I'm going to jump around a little bit here, PJ. We spoke before the show a little bit about one of the websites that you launched, something that's very complementary to what you're currently doing with Featurespace. Tell our audience a little bit about what you did there and how helpful it was to your current career progression.
Sure. A couple years ago, a couple other gentlemen and I launched a website called aboutfraud.com. And really the genesis of that was just to get interesting, trending, relevant information about fraud prevention out there. We were We were all interested in the different technology and the trends. And so we set up a website where we could get that news out there. It expanded to kind of making sense of all the fraud solution providers that were out there. So if you're in the industry, you've come across them in different fraud use cases, and they all do different things. So we just wanted to kind of simplify that. So it's been great. It actually helped me when I was looking for that next step. I had been tracking Featurespace for a little bit about, and I had some really good kind of insight into how they were evolving. And in my current role, what I need to do is kind of have my finger on the pulse of the kind of fraud out there, and it's growing and changing so quickly that this is something where I can actively be engaged. I can be doing the necessary reading and research the feedback directly into Featurespace and ultimately into the products that we offer our clients, which is really the end goal there.
That's very smart. Where do you see Featurespace in 5 years' time?
5 years. Well, the company's mission is to risk for fraud every transaction in the world, which may seem like a bold endeavor, but it's one of those things that gets thrown out there and people might be like, yeah, it's a great statement. But I genuinely feel that the people I work with believe that is an attainable goal. So it's very cool. As far as specifics, I mean, we're growing at a great rate right now. I don't think that's gonna slow down. I think that our global presence will be the most significant change. We have a great presence in Europe and moving pretty well into the U.S., but into North America, into Mexico and the Asia Pacific area, into Australia. Unfortunately, fraud is everywhere, but fortunately, we have a technology that can help that can help all global regions.
Okay. That leads nicely into my last question, which is regarding talent. The company is growing globally, opening up in a lot of these competitive hubs, Atlanta, London, Singapore. How does the company do talent and culture? It only hires highly specialized people, needles in the haystack. How do you recruit? What sorts of people do you look for?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think culture is an important thing. I think it should be for any company. You want to make sure you're the right fit, the right kind of all driving towards the same thing. Now, that's a piece of it. We do recruit, some of the best and brightest minds out there. But I think it really depends on the role. We have some brilliant data scientists that come from the University of Cambridge and other really top schools. We have individuals from all different types of background. Mm-hmm. Like I said, my fraud market expert role is probably a more unique role, and I had a business background. We have sales and marketing folks I think the culture, and I think just your experience and what you've brought to your previous roles, and if you're talented, smart, and hungry, we'll probably find a spot for you.
Okay, fantastic. And how can potential applicants, partners, clients get in touch?
Yeah, so pretty traditional. Our website has our job postings. I'm also very active on LinkedIn, yep. So anyone can reach out, and I'm more than happy to have a chat. And really, anyone in general. If you know somebody in Featurespace and you're connected with them on LinkedIn, or another manner, just reach out. It's a very very friendly group of folks that are. That was one of the things I liked most. It was they were all smart, driven, but actually very approachable and kind of humble, which is cool. So reach out and we can have a chat.
Okay, PJ Rohal, fraud market expert at Featurespace. Thanks very much for being on the Payments and Cards podcast.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The Payments and Cards Network podcast is brought to you by our friends and sponsors, Payvision. Payvision, when it comes to payments, they don't mess around. They live and breathe payments processing, from design and integration to delivery and checkout and everything in between. Check out payvision.com. We are also brought to you by Block Data. Block Data is an Amsterdam-based cryptocurrency research firm. They help investors get involved in the world of cryptocurrency safely and securely. Check out blockdata.tech for more information about them. Thanks for joining today's show. We'll see you again next time.